But I'm not even doing that. I'm just walking around feeling.
That is the practice disease.
No, I mean, I recognize it. And that's why I'm here, because I've recognized the failure of that way of doing things. It hasn't been successful. When I was a philosophy student, the definition of philosophy was a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. And sometimes I feel at the moment that I feel in that stage where I don't know what I'm doing or what I'm...
That can be known. That can be known when there is understanding. It's not rupa, so what is it?
If it's not rupa, it's got to be dharma. Mm-hmm.
Not by word, but by the characteristic of something which is experiencing an object. Because it's not like hardness or softness at all. It's that which knows, even in darkness, no black cat, but it's there. So we can understand that realities are exactly the same, no matter when, depending on panya only, how it can understand that reality. When it's not the proper moment for panya, which has developed to the degree that it can understand that moment as not self at all, just a reality, then no hindrance to experience the true nature of reality. But the I is there with doubt, in darkness. So avijja cannot understand anything right then, even it appears like that. And no other way except the understanding through learning, listening, pariyatti, to know that all realities are conditioned when they arise. And that is the only moment to be known, that which has arisen now, appearing to be known. And when it's not known, it's just past all the time. It's dark. No black cat. It's gone.
I suppose what's difficult to accept is that there can't be buddhi-bhat in advance of our pariyatti, our understanding. And we see a formal practice as a way of getting around this, or being able to practice without having to have the intellectual understanding first.
Yeah. In fact, many meditation teachers don't give you any instruction apart from the actual practice, because they say the wisdom will arise by itself.
In fact, they discourage reading. Yes,
exactly. Yeah, you're not allowed to read. You
see that as a hindrance.
So no understanding.
Can't be understanding if it's not based on pariyatti.
You need a map.
Why in the Neti, I'm sure I've asked before, but why does it say that the Buddha teaches samatha to one of keen faculties, samatha and insight to one of medium faculties, and insight only to one of blunt faculties? Why would it say samatha only to one of keen faculties, implying that they've already developed understanding?
Who is that person?
Well, I suppose the one with keen faculties must be the Aryans or the Arahants.
Oh, keen accumulation.
Well, let's say keen accumulation. Why would the Buddha only teach samatha to?
To keen accumulation.
Insight to blunt accumulations.
Because the one of keen accumulations doesn't need more instruction on insight. Is going to attain insight anyway.
It has heard enough.
There are so many people who listened to the teachings according to the individual.
But why then samatha and insight to medium accumulations? Samatha to one of keen accumulations?
Jhana?
I suppose must be one who can have jhana. Samatha and insight to medium accumulations.
Lesser than that?
Lesser than that. So still need to hear about Dharma and insight only to the blunt accumulations.
So who we are?
Definitely the blunt, no question. So the keen just don't need to hear any more about vipassana or insight.
When Buddha taught or spoke to the 500 children who killed the snakes, I think, they became Sotapanna. What do you think about that?
Pretty keen.
Mm-hmm.
500 children.
They were killing the snake?
I think so. No, yeah. I was not very interested when I read that, because I just be interested only in the development of understanding. Mm-hmm. And without understanding, those or anyone besides those children cannot attain enlightenment at all. So the point is the panya, the development of panya, the understanding of reality right now. And when one hears the word calm or calmness, it seems like it has to be so great. But what about this moment? It can develop little by little too. But right understanding should know the difference between calmness and attachment. How can there be detachment from this world object right now? When one thinks about detachment or calmness, one thinks of other things. But what about calmness with right understanding and detachment from clinging to this world object right now, instead of thinking about developing calmness?
You mean in this present moment, by accepting the present moment?
All the teachings concern the detachment from clinging to realities, even to visible object which is now appearing. But how can there be detachment from clinging to visible object? Otherwise, we think of the other kind of calmness, like in the forest, or thinking about death and so on. But what about being calm with right understanding, with detachment from clinging to visible object right now? And this is the path leading to enlightenment. This is the way to be free from the practice disease.
So earlier we were talking about pariyatti as a necessary basis for patipatti.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about pariyatti that is needed to be known?
The understanding of reality right now is what is meant by pariyatti, not the number of citta and cetasikas.
What can we say about the reality appearing now then?
Not so. It's conditioned. It cannot appear without its arising. And since that is real, panya can penetrate the way it is. Nothing, something, and nothing.
So that piece of advice, that sentence given to Sariputta where he attained Sotapanna, was enough for him to understand the present moment, that things arise because of causes. Mm. So the pariyatti came and then the panya.
To panya about what is seen, what is heard, what is known.
That reminds me, so to bahaya, just the seen and the seen, what is heard, the heard. But someone mentioned that after the seen, there has to be some stopping of thinking.
Things stop at the scene.
Seen, yes.
Yeah, that's it. How to stop when seeing is only seeing and hearing is only hearing. How do you stop?
I think what it means is that the seeing is seen as only seeing, and the thinking as only thinking. It's not that things stop at the seeing, but whatever is the reality appearing is seen as it is and not as something else. The thinking that follows the seeing is not confused with the seeing itself, and the visible object is not confused with the seeing. So is the value of association with the right person the opportunity to hear more about the pariyatti?
Because actually it's the association with right view.
Right view.
Right understanding.
And it doesn't matter whether that is within the order or outside.
According to absolute truth, in fact it's the reality which is right understanding. Nobody.
So in fact the reality is the teacher.
Right understanding. Understands that.
Another sutta, the Vimuttayatana Sutta, about the five ways of release. I assume these are all referring to enlightenment. And the first one refers to a monk who gradually understands the meanings and experiences, the teaching, and then there is joy and so on. This is the first kind of vimutti. And then there is the bhikkhu who preaches others in detail the teachings that he has heard and masters. When he preaches to others, he realizes the meaning and experiences the teaching and so on. This is the second one. And the third one is not taught by anyone and he doesn't preach to anyone, yet he recites in detail what he's heard and mastered, realizes the meanings, experiences the teachings, and so on. And the fourth one, no one teaches him, he doesn't preach to others, he doesn't recite in detail the teachings he's heard or mastered, yet he thinks and considers about the teaching that he has heard and mastered, and so on. And the fifth one, neither a teacher nor an associate teaches him, he doesn't preach to others, he doesn't recite in detail, he doesn't think and consider about the teaching, yet a certain meditation object well grasped and well established is penetratingly seen with wisdom and delight arises. This is the fifth one. So the fifth one doesn't refer to any kind of pariyatti or listening or hearing, yet a certain meditation object is seen with wisdom and delight arises. What does this refer to, do you know?
What do you think when you go to the funeral, right?
You reflect on death. And
who teach you? Who remind you?
No one at the time, mm-hmm. but from one's right. accumulations of understanding. Mm-hmm. So here,
any time with the conditions for such thinking.
And when it says a certain meditation object well grasped, but this could be any reality, seeing or visible mm-hmm. object, or
depending on the accumulation,
or reflection on death, yeah. or something.
And the individual spanya.
So just accumulations from the past.
That's why some people might think that no need to develop anything at all. It just comes mm-hmm. by itself. But actually, there must be conditions for its arising. When we just wake up, seeing again, hearing again, thinking again.
Oh, not another day of seeing and hearing.
They're thinking of Pandya, see?
Maybe it's why you smile or laugh even at funerals when you see the bones or the visible objects.
No one can imagine what would happen.
Someone referred to different tastes in music on the discussion list, and someone suggested it was because of different resultant feelings with the vipaka cittas, but I think it's more to do with just different accumulations for lobha, what mm-hmm. one likes or doesn't like. So the vipaka cittas, when we hear the same kind of loud music, may be very similar, but just because of accumulations and thinking, lobha arises for some and not for others.
That's why there's Aramana Tipatipajya and Aramanupa Nisiyapajya.
Is that a particularly desirable object? Mm-hmm. A particularly desirable object that one likes for lobha? Mainly depending on accumulations, mm-hmm. what is a particularly desirable object?
It doesn't mean that the object itself is particularly desirable. So same object for you and me might be desirable for me and not desirable.
Depending on the different
accumulation. Okay.
That's why you like to rain and the yes. other do not.
And can that be concept?
No reality? Or we call that by that name, Panisya, but actually they're all dhammas.
It has to be dhamma. Mm-hmm. So if I like a certain kind of music, it's
you,
a particular
you
sound.
You like the sound and you call it what?
Music.
Or the musical instrument.
So I understand that these are two different conditions, but why did you make the comment that's why there are these two different conditions?
Because one means the object, mm-hmm. desirable object. And since there is attachment to such object, it becomes the aramanupanisya for that object.
So they're both closely interrelated.
Yeah. Once you like it, then it
keeps
on.
When it keeps calm, yeah. right, by repetition or... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being conditions for having such attachment again.
Yeah. As soon as there's recognizing it, then it's the condition again.
like in a buffet, as soon as you see the food, certain foods condition attachment immediately before you've even tasted
it. One likes sour while the other likes sweet.
And why some objects, for example, coffee, small children never like coffee. It's not a desirable object. But as they grow older, after tasting it and getting used to it by Aramanupanisya, it becomes more and more one's tendency until it becomes the Aramanupanisya
Pachaya.
Until it becomes even a particularly desirable one.
That seems a bit strange, that if it's realities we're talking about, that within just one lifetime such a big difference, change.
But it happens.
Yeah.
I like drinking alcohol. Children don't like alcohol, but somewhere along the line.
Alcohol in chocolate, cherry, mixed with chocolate. Even children have this different like and taste for food.
But couldn't there be some other explanation that basically there's so much citta vipalasa, sadhya vipalasa, that a child who doesn't like the taste of coffee, just it's due to thinking that he doesn't like, and maybe when he grows up it's because something accumulated.
Do we have to think that we do not like?
We don't know the moment, so we are confused.
At moment when dosa arises, it doesn't like.
Yes.
This is a passage that you remember Mike Nice was here. He likes to listen to the CDs that we've edited, and this is a comment you made which he particularly liked. So I wondered if you might say something more about it, because I think it's relevant to the Vedana discussion. Chetana plays a very important role because everyone clings to Vedana. So even Chetana follows or is ruled or is led by feeling. It's very important that the other chetasikas have to do something to have such kind of Vedana, because of the clinging of Vedana is so very strong. If you like something, it's so pleasant, then all the chetasikas will be Sankara Kanda to develop or to have the feeling again and again. Usually we talk about the great importance we assign to Vedana, and we do everything to have pleasant feelings again and again. But here you are saying Chetana plays a very important role because of the clinging to Vedana. So actually Chetana follows or is ruled by feeling.
Mm-hmm. Just feeling?
Well, not just feeling, it must be other chetasikas too. So here it's suggesting that the chetasikas and Sankara Kanda, Chetana and the other dharmas, actually depend on feeling because of wanting to have it again and again.
That's why another word for Chetana is Abhi Sankara.
Abhi means what in this context?
Great or?
Great.
Great because of the way it accumulates depending on?
Is that which seek or search?
Always searching for more pleasant feeling.
Just getting back to Pariyatti for a minute in the interval. Can we say that the dhammas that are the object of understanding are one of the important aspects of Pariyatti to be known?
How can there be the understanding of anything without Pariyatti?
There can't really be.
Mm-hmm.
But can we be more particular about Pariyatti as to what exactly it is that has to be intellectually understood?
To be born to learn, or to be born to cling?
Well, we're all born to cling, aren't we?
So, no understanding.
But there has to be a start.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're born to cling.
If one can learn, if one can know, shouldn't one learn, shouldn't one know? It doesn't hurt to know that this moment is not self. It's a conditioned moment. Arising and falling away. It doesn't hurt, just develop better understanding, clearer understanding, because it's so true. Don't expect anything from it, just know or understand. That's the way to insight or penetrate the true nature of realities right now. When time comes, So it depends on the understanding, the accumulation from moment to moment. That's the way to have less clinging and less ignorance. And with ignorance, one can have great lobha, dosa, and moha, which can perform such very bad deeds.
What about those who worry excessively about their tendency for unwholesome deeds, and it seems to be a distraction, so they cannot...
But can it help, worrying?
I don't believe it can help.
So why worry? It doesn't help at all. And panya can see that. But when it's not panya, it keeps on going. And everyone cried, how can I have no dukkha? What about panya? They don't want to have it.